Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its third quarter of 2016 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.raiadrogasil.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At the time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio De Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the presentation of results of the third quarter 2016 Raia Drogasil. As Eugênio presents the highlights for the results and before Q&A, I stress some points, okay? Let's go, Eugênio.
Hello, everybody. Thank you all for attending our third quarter earnings call. We're very proud to present the highlights of another very strong quarter for the company. We ended the quarter with a total of 1,370 stores. We opened 53 stores in the quarter and closed another 13 stores, of which five were location changes. We achieved gross revenues of 3.1 billion, 25% growth, with 13.5% same-store sales growth. Our gross margin totaled 29.5%, a 90 basis points increase versus the previous year. We reached EBITDA of 254 million, an 8.2% EBITDA margin, and an 80 basis points margin increase. Adjusted net income reached 127.6 million. The margin corresponds to 4.2%, an increase of 33.1%. Finally, we presented a very strong cash flow generation in the quarter, 172.5 million in free cash flow and 162.4 million in total cash flow generation. On the next page, I would like to comment on our ongoing expansion. We opened in this quarter a total of 53 new stores. Year to date, we have already opened 150 stores, so we are in almost linear pace progressing towards the 200 gross store opening guidance that we provided for the year. Everything very balanced, I would say. If you look last 12 months, we have opened even more than 200. We opened 212 stores. The whole idea has always been to balance the growth, so we are still reinforcing the guidance of 200 stores. We're not expecting to open more stores than that this year or the next year. Okay. Looking to our closings in the year, we closed this quarter a very high number of stores, which is not usual, 13 stores. I think there are a couple elements here that are worth tracking. First, there's a timing issue. We closed a lot of stores now, and we have a very low number of stores to close in the last quarter. This is one thing. The second thing is that we are rebalancing our operation in Goiás. We made an acquisition 3 or 4 years ago in the state. We acquired 25, 26 stores. We're now, I think, correcting the density of stores in the core areas of Goiânia. And this is very important so that we'll be able now to resume organic growth. So we're rebalancing in the areas where we had too much density, but now so that we can start growing in new areas of the city. So this is also very important. And finally, of the 13 closures, we have 5 location changes. And these are all projects in which we're investing the full amount of a new store. But the return expectation embeds the fact that the new store has to pay for the previous EBITDA of the older store, plus the additional EBITDA to pay the cost of capital of the new store. So this is good news. I mean, these are projects that will generate returns, okay? Just like normal stores do. Our store portfolio, I would say, is very fresh right now. We have 34%, 34.6% of stores to undergoing maturation. This is the highest number since the third quarter of 13. But if we consider that 16.5% of the stores, they are in year one, the average age of this portfolio is the youngest ever since higher than it was long. On the next page, of the 1370 stores that we have in operation, 650 are branded under Hiya, 707 are to the new and Farmerville store, and then we have 3 full bio stores counted in this number. We have a presence established in 18 states of Brazil that together account for 90% of the Brazilian pharmaceutical market. Looking here on the right, I think the best news is that even though market share is progressing at a very good pace, the market shares are still low figures, which points to the opportunity we have ahead for the next 15 years. The national share in Brazil jumped from 10% to 11.8%. In São Paulo, we came from 21.7% to 24.1%, so it's a very meaningful share gain. In the Southeast, our market share increased from 6.8% to 7.6%. In the Midwest, including also the state of Tocantins, we came from 12.4 to 13.9. In the south, 5.46. And in the northeast, 2.3 to 4.7. It won't take much for the northeast to pass the south in terms of total market share. We are very happy with our operation there. Everything is progressing in a very good way. Something that I think is important to comment, when you look at this expressive share gain in São Paulo, I think the gain in São Paulo is concentrating more and more in the hands of the two leaders. In the last month, we saw a small chain in the capital, Droga Verde, closing all stores, and we recently saw an offer which belongs to CVS, closing 11 stores out of 40 stores. This is a pretty meaningful movement. So more and more market share is coming our way, and also the way of our main competitive mistakes. So I think we're both gaining share here. And we are very excited with the opportunity. We still see room for more stores in the state of São Paulo, for many more stores in the countryside. We are going to more popular regions progressively in the capital. We are increasing density in the core areas as people get older and the market grows in those neighborhoods. So the market share is still much lower than we always achieve, even for São Paulo. In the next page, we break down our growth in terms of business and categories. We grew our revenues 35.2% on a consolidated basis. Hiya Drogasil grew 23.8% in the period. Wolfobio presented a staggering 91.1% growth. So this is a very, very strong number, I think, for both businesses. Of the 3,050,000 in revenues, 2.957 came from Rio Brazil, 93 came from Fobio. We saw a very unusual mix effect this quarter due to a much colder weather than normal. What happened is that as a function of this weather, OTC, was the highlight of the quarter, gaining 40 bps in the sales mix and increasing revenue by 26.4. The other two pharma categories also performed very well, growing 25.2, and so branded increased by 50 bps, generic increased by 10 bps, and the business which paid the bills, so to speak, was hygiene personal care. In a much colder scenario, we suffered in seasonal sales, so HPC got back by 100 basis points here. But still a 19.3% growth, which we cannot say it's a bad growth in any way. In terms of breakdown by store age, our mature stores, they have grown 8.9% in the period. Same store sales have grown by 13.5%, and total revenue growth was 25.2%. It's important to mention that the impact of the Olympics in the quarter was pretty meaningful. So even though we're talking 3 weeks, you know, which people were, they stayed way more at home watching games than going around the cities buying products, the overall impact in the quarter was 1.3%. So we should have grown 1.3% faster than we actually grew. But if you understand that this relates only for 3 weeks out of 12 weeks of the quarter, the impact on the Olympics was a severe one. It was very, very big one. Bigger than we expected. But obviously, it dilutes over the quarter, but still 1.3 is a big number. Next page, talking about our gross margin, page 8. The gross margin was really the highlight of the quarter, and the number that explains this big margin boost that we achieved. Our gross margin jumped 90 basis points, and the main effect by far is the residual inventory from the forward buy and the took in the first quarter. So we ended the first quarter with a ton of inventories ahead of the price increase. The price increase this year was even more than 12%, and we still had inventories that are not the cost base in the quarter, which is not usual for us. So we part of the whole inflationary gain story happened in this quarter. So obviously this is an effect that won't be carried through the fourth quarter and to the beginning of the year. We had other effects here as well. Net present value adjustment was bigger by 30 basis points, and the reason is interest rates are higher, and our working capital is healthier as well. But this effect was offset by the 4Bio mixed effect. 4Bio had lower gross margin than Hydro Brasil, so as 4Bio grows way faster, 4Bio pressures the margin. There is an offsetting effect in the expenses. 4Bio has a low expense base, so the expense base gets benefited as 4Bio grows ahead of the company. And the cash cycle was flat versus last year, but we achieved a 6-day reduction versus the previous quarter. So the cash generation this quarter was very good. As a result, sales and general expenses on page 9, when we compare this 21.2% with the previous quarter, I mean, overall, it has been flatter. It's the same number of the previous quarter, and it's 10 bps higher than the 32.15. So we achieved 10 bps improvement in G&A, but we saw a 10 bps pressure on sales expenses. People expenses went up by 10 bps, rentals went up by 10 bps, and marketing went up by 20 bps. So this was an offset, as I mentioned, by the G&A, but within sales expenses, by 4Bio dilution, 10 bps, and new store dilution, 10 bps. This is a very key effect. I mean, the plan of this year is way more balanced than what we saw last year. So we have opened by now a much bigger proportion of the stores of the year than what we had opened at the same time last year. So we're giving stores time to show a positive free cash flow. So we have a lot of stores open in the first semester, which are already showing a positive free cash flow, and they are partially offsetting the pressure from the recently opened stores or repurchase cycle of the stores that we are yet to open. So pressure from these stores has been a drag in the first semester, as you have much bigger base of stores, but now it's becoming a positive because these stores are showing a positive cash flow. And this effect will intensify in the fourth quarter as well. So this was another improvement that has offset the overall pressure. All in all, our EBITDA reached a margin of 8.3% in the year, 80 bps increase versus the same quarter last year. If we consider only the stores that were already up and running in the end of last year, which are 1,220 stores, and I'm fully attributing to that our logistics expenses and our G&A, I mean, we would have had 2.9 billion in revenues. So you see here the difference between generated by stores opened during the year, 260 million EBITDA, and a 9% margin. So the drag by the new stores opened in the year is only 6 million. This is much lower than what we had at the same point last year. Hydro Brazil, the retail business, we generated 250 million EBITDA, 8.4%, and an EBIT margin of 6.1%. For Bio generated 4.5 million EBITDA, 4.8%, and an EBIT margin of 4.7%. It's always important to remember that Fobio has greater capital efficiency than Hydro, so the margin is lower, but CapEx, the returns are bigger because CapEx is almost zero and working capital is much lower than for Hydro Brazil. So this is a very good number for Fobio as well. Net income, as you imagine, reached 4.2% on an adjusted basis, 128 million reais, so a 36% margin increase. Page 12, this is one of the highlights of the quarter. As we revert with the cash cycle pressure from the last quarter, we generated very positive free cash flow. Our total free cash flow in the quarter was 172.5 million. Resources from operations reached more than 200 million. Our working capital was also positive, so operating cash flow was 316. We invested way more than last year. As I mentioned, not only have a much bigger plan, 50 stores bigger than last year, but it's always happened much earlier in the year, so it's a bigger investment pressure, but still, 172.5 million free cash flow in the quarter, 162 million total cash flow in the quarter. If you look year to date, free cash flow has been positive by 9.4 million. This is an amazing number because here we're comparing third quarter this year with fourth quarter last year. And the fourth quarter in every year is always the best quarter in terms of cash flow because of cash cycle seasonality. So the fact that you're comparing third quarter with the fourth quarter and this is turning a positive number is really amazing. It shows how good the capital allocation has been in the company. The cumulative total cash flow was negative by only 74 million so far. And finally, before passing to Marcelo, we have generated this year a total shareholder return of 87%. For those who invested at the Drogasil IPO 9 years ago, we have generated an average annual return of 31%. I mean, it's a very unique, it's a very unique return capacity that we have. 31% over 9 years is not a number you see in many places. And for whoever invested in the RIA IPO 6 years ago, we have generated an average annual return of 38%. So this shows the compounding capacity of this business. This is a testament to the high marginal returns we have on our investment, which has driven our sales and margins up, which has driven our share price up. I'll now pass to Marcelo, and then we'll get back to Q&A. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Eugenio. Well, as we look at sales, I think the big challenge in the quarter was the leap year gain. But it's funny looking at the sales trend, just after the leap year gain, the sales take the same pace. And then it's funny how you are very, very stable in the sales level in this year, okay? I think that the biggest number that helped us in the sales this year is the Grand Open. We opened 150 stores this year, 212 stores in the last 12 months. Better than just opening stores, the pace of stores. We open 15 to 20 stores every month. We built like a single line of new stores, like a Hanford here. This is new for us. We know how to open the store very well. We visited a chain in Mexico in 2014, and that chain opened 3 stores per day. Then we start to work here how we can open 15 and 20 stores per month, and we did this year. We create also a methodology to check every week the results for these stores just opening, okay? This is very important to understand the errors and the success of the stores and change the pattern for the next store. We are doing this very, very well. We opened only 50 stores in the fourth quarter of 2016, down from 62 in 2015, then we are looking to stabilize all the system, the same pace every quarter, open almost 50 stores every month, okay? The major problem that we had in the past with an open store is the people. We are much better right now. We work with all the team working the workforce plan, and you have the managers ready to open stores, ready to serve the customer, ready to manage the stores. Then we open the store in this corner, we know the corner, the store in the corner ready to serve the customers. This helps us to advancing in other strategic roadmap, okay? It's looking for pilots or formats, for example, pilots today, we are opening today, the first new format for Drogasil. We did a study last year to understand the DNA for Drogasil and for Drogahaya also. We didn't change the store format for Drogasil since 2003, and just opened a new store today in Higienópolis. There's a neighborhood here for high income here in São Paulo. We really believe it will be advanced in the Brazil format for the future. We also opened 2 big store formats. The store format is more for customer experience, for increase the build items, increase more the human spaces, to stay more time in the store with us. We opened a store in Alphaville, in Cruzeiro Nacional, is doing very well also. And we were advancing with Farmazil business format. Farmazil, it was a pilot, and right now it's almost a business for us. We know very well the Farmazil, all the numbers for Farmazil, and much more confident for the future in Farmazil, and this can help us in the future for the company. If you look at the category management, we are much more involved in the Hambi. The Hambi helps us not only us, but with the vendors also. We can see some results with the Hambi methodology with the pharmaceutical business also. This is very difficult to do this because our pharmaceutical model is very unique here in Brazil, but we are much better right now than the past. And we close also a tool try to help us to work with the pricing. We have right now more than 50 million price decisions every week, every day, okay? And doing this platform is very, very difficult. We really believe this can help us in 2018. We just started the program right now. We'll be ready the first quarter of 2013, 2017, but we'll be completely ready in 2018. In the CRM to involve the customer, we are piloting right now the new loyalty program for Drogasil Espírito Santo, okay? And I'm using our sales platform also to try to increase the personalization with the customer and try to increase the share of loyalty with this customer also. The good thing for this part, we are doing every all this new business, new roadmap without focusing on execution. We know execution is very, very important for our company. Execution is the number one goal. Day by day, this is much more important than the structure for the future. And you can do this both right now, okay? We know the execution is good for continues to perform well and good to serve better our customers and we take care of our employees also. Thank you very much. You are ready for the questions right now.
Well, just for the questions, I would like to highlight our investor relation activities. So first of all, we have fourth quarter release set for February 16 this year. I would like also to highlight the Hydro Brasil Day. It will be November 25 in the morning in São Paulo, as Hotel Unique took place last year, with English translation. And I would highly advise you, whoever can come south, to be here with us. This is the only moment in the year in which we make all our key executives available for you. We are very disciplined in letting our executives focus on their everyday jobs. And the IR role in the company is mine, it's Marcelo's, and it's Gabriel's. But this is an opportunity where you can interact with all our senior executives. You can ask any question you want. You have the opportunity to learn more about our execution. So this is an invitation that if you have the opportunity, please don't miss. And finally, we have several conferences already scheduled. We have the Citibank retail conference in São Paulo on November 8th. November 15th to 16th, Bradesco conference in New York. December 1st, JP Morgan in São Paulo. January 9th and 10th, JP Morgan San Francisco, the healthcare conference. January 11th to 13th, the Latam conference with Morgan Stanley in Miami. So now let's go to question and answers. Thank you very much.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Our first question comes from Mr. Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I have like a few questions here. The first one is on the expansion is more like a follow-up on my question in the Portuguese call. We see some of your peers opening some kind of differentiated stores, so very large locations, more similar in terms of storefront execution to the U.S. stores and also maybe the larger Boots ones. We see some initiatives on your front and this, so also opening larger stores. So I'd like to understand what should be the strategy here and if you see a lot of room to roll out this type of stores. And the second thing, and again, like obviously it's still too early maybe to talk about it, we always talked a lot about the format pharmacy, so the probably the more mass segment format. So I would like to understand in terms of store returns, how are they comparing to the high-end drugstore formats? If the current format is already like ready to a full rollout, I understand you're probably opening about 5 stores this year. So I'd like to understand if it's ready for a rollout and when should we expect such a rollout? Thank you.
Joseph, thanks for the question. I mean, this was indeed a big quarter in terms of format announcements, and these are all things we have been working for quite a while. So let's talk about big stores. For us, Boots in the UK is a huge reference, and one of the great things about Boots is how they stress performance depending on where they are, depending on the space available. You can go to an amazing store in Oxford Street, bigger than 1,000 square meters, which delivers an amazing experience, but then you go to London City Airport, they have a 15 square meter store, they adapt to the space available, and they're still creating value and service to the customer. So this is a big inspiration for us. And our format until now was very standardized, I'll say. I mean, we're 100 to 200, sometimes most often from 70 to 80, at most to 20. And this big store format, I mean, first of all, it's a learning opportunity for the company. So we took two amazing pieces of real estate, and we set stores around 350 square meters. and a bigger store forces you to push your execution forward. I mean, if you just do business as usual in a larger store, I mean, it doesn't make sense. The store experience goes down, economically it's a disaster. So for us to use a larger area, we were forced to improve our execution, to push forward the category we have, to have more variety and beauty, to have better service to the customer, to have a more interactive store, and things like that. This is not a flagship store in which we're doing a lot of crazy things. This is a store that we're doing a normal distribution, but they were made to the larger size. So where we are now is we're happy with what we have. Obviously, we're fine-tuning a couple aspects. We have two stores, one in Paulista Avenue in São Paulo, another one in Alphaville, which is a residential neighborhood close to São Paulo. We have a couple more of these stores coming, and we have at least two or three more stores coming in this format. So we're making a bigger pool for us to learn. But the great thing is that in the past, in several moments, we got stores that we could have made them, let's say, 250 square meters. And we put a wall there and did 180 to 100 because we didn't have something to do in the extra area. Right now, from this experience, we get the confidence to explore the full space available in our existing stores and in our upcoming stores. So if you have a store within a certain rental and we have the area to do a 230 store, we'll bring elements from this execution into that. So these learnings, first and foremost, will reflect to existing locations where we can have bigger stores and even some of the larger stores we have where we can have a better distribution. So this is a great thing. Economically, we want to understand how the return profile plays out for this larger format. It's still too early to tell. One store was an expansion, so the initial numbers are great. The other was a new store, and in that case, we don't have a clue how the store would look like because it's difficult to say if it's the size or if it's the potential. So with a couple more stores, we'll learn, and eventually, we'll know if this is something that should be small and should be for learning and to very specific locations, or if we can do a more aggressive rollout out of that, and maybe someday have a much bigger share of our stores at larger size. So we just started this. We recently opened. We need time to learn and to commit a strategy here. Farmers View is a different story. I mean, Farmers View, I think we're taking a very deliberate step forward right now. Farmers View was a long learning curve for us. And we started, our mood towards Farmers View has changed over time. I mean, we started very excited, then at some point it looked more lukewarm, and then at some point, as our execution evolved, we started getting excited again. What happened is that Farmers View, first of all, it depends on delivery, very high gross margins, because the revenue level is very low. And these huge margins, they depend on a huge generic penetration. So early on, that generic penetration was not happening. With time, with deliberate initiatives towards that, by changing the compensation program, we have reached a very good point. So Farmers View already has a very high margin, and within the margin we still grow a couple of beeps. So the margin point is a very important point. So the same revenue with 30% of margin, it's lackluster. When you get 35% and above, it starts getting really good. So this is one of the changes here. The market has gone where we want it. The second thing is, in terms of the beauty of the store, the execution of the stores, we are a company which has a very consolidated and successful basic format, and a lot of our mindset is behind the format. So yeah, a very funny example, first store we opened at Farmers View, even though the sales area was much lower, the support area of the store was the same size of a normal store of us, where we had 20 people, where in Farmers View we only had 7 people. So this was the first and a very, very important early learning. So the new stores now, they have a support area, behind the sales area, which is much smaller than a normal store. So the CapEx is lower. We have even stressed the sales area, which is now slightly lower, slightly smaller than it was in the beginning. So this is a further CapEx reduction. The other thing is that when we build our new stores, there's a very clear trade-off of cost for speed. I don't have any illusions. If we were to open only, let's say, 50 or 100 stores in the year, we could have way more time for each single store to optimize the project and things like that. The fact that we have to do things in a hurry increases the mistakes. So, but the returns are so high that it pays out to have more stores for slightly higher cost than a small number of stores with the fully optimized CapEx level. In the case of Farmerview, the CapEx is very sensitive. So we took the Farmerview execution away from our store assembly line and into another area of the company, into the maintenance area of the company. So each Farmerview project is exhausted. We have a full CapEx budget before going on. So we have way less surprises, you know, when we started out the Farmerview site was a new, a normal store site. Because Farmerview doesn't pay the speed cost trade-off doesn't work in the same way as our normal format. So our CapEx is now lower than it is. Another thing, we started Farmerview without any front store. It was all about front counter. With time, we started offering some HPC and bringing UCC to the front shop. But we had to fine-tune that, because if you have too many products in the front, we have to have a cashier, and then the cost doesn't work. So we have to have as much front store as we can afford without having a cashier. Because in the pharmacy, the customers, they pay in the pharmacy counter. So these are all learning examples, and this is why it took us this long for us to get here. But we are opening 4 stores this year. One is already there, and we're very happy with this one store. So we should have another 3 stores, which we hope will be just as good. So from these 4 stores, we want to draw the confidence to do X more next year, and then who knows, X more the other year, until we have a full-fledged plan. I mean, don't expect us to go from 0 to 50 or 100. This won't happen. We're going in incremental stages. And that's the right strategy, because we don't have also the manpower to deliver a huge growth at Farmerview, because we're just assimilating 200 stores per year in the classic format.
Perfect. Thank you. One extra question here, you know, on the working capital side. So we see higher inventories, but they're fully funded by suppliers. I understand that part of those, like, supplier gains, so that in terms of days, they stem from, like, the more challenging macro and potentially, like, opportunistic purchases you make from the industry. So I was wondering if you can break down or provide of what would be a sustainable payment term to suppliers, or if it's sustainable at this point. Thank you.
Joseph, thanks for the question. I mean, I think you cannot isolate suppliers from inventories. So supplier is completely related to the level of inventories. Whenever we're willing to take higher inventories because of speculative purchases, we have to have the longer payment term to pay for that. So it could be very well the case that this supplier level is not sustainable. But if you look, our inventory level is also very high. So both would go down in tandem, I think, if that happens.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph.
Our next question comes from Mr. Pedro Fagundes, Fagundes Sachs.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. I have 2 questions on my side. First, on Omnichannel, I was just wondering if you could maybe elaborate a little bit on the company's strategy going forward, meaning if the company has anything on the pipeline right now, and what the next steps are with regards to maybe the development of known platform or maybe operating into a marketplace? And a second question on distribution. I understand you guys have a fairly robust opening plan going forward, so I was also wondering at which point we should start considering that you make further investments into new distribution centers besides the one you already have on your pipeline. And that's it on my side. Thank you very much.
Pedro, thank you for the questions. Omnichannel, this is one subject that we're doing a ton of stuff. We're doing for quite a while, but it's really a long cycle, and things haven't surfaced yet. But I think they're close to start surfacing. So, I mean, we're doing a big transformation. We're coming from a company in which online was a completely separate segment, completely separate P&L, completely separate strategy. And obviously, history has shown that pure play doesn't work in our market, doesn't work in pharma. We don't have a single successful pure play drugstore in the world. Even drugstore.com, founded by Amazon in 2000, didn't work. They were sold for Walgreens or peanuts. So we're evolving from that view, which is now a node view, into omnichannel, into making online one more channel for the customer, into providing a seamless experience for the customer, however and wherever the customer want to buy. But to do this, it takes a lot of work. So the first thing that we did was we completely changed our online platform. We have an outdated online platform, and now we have a much, much better online platform, and especially an online platform that will be able to integrate with our ERP. It looks easy, but for you to buy an item online and collect at the store, you have to look in real time, the inventory of the store, if you have the product, then you sell it, then you have to send a notice to the store to separate the product, and you have to send a communication to the customer that the product is there. You have to manage the fact that the payment happened online and not in the cash of the store. So it's very, very, very complex, but we're moving forward. And I think people will start seeing important achievements in the short term. For example, we already have a Droga Raia app, which are in the verge of rolling out. So we have ended the pilot. We should roll out over the next week. So there's already progress there. You can check your exclusive offer there. You can order an item to be booked for you in the store. You can know if you have the product you're looking for in the store or in which store. So things are starting to move ahead. Another project that we have is shut down the dedicated logistics facility that we have through commerce to try to use our DCs for commerce, because this would multiply our supply base. So we would be decentralized at a very fast pace. And then morphing this question into your next, which is DCs. At the level of growth we have, logistics capacity will be growing in a very constant way. So 200 stores a year, this is what we're hoping. This is the relevant scale of a pretty sizable DC. So we opened Pernambuco this year, we open Bahia next year. This is already set, and we are exactly signing the lease contract, and we'll have more DCs coming. So every year, it will be a combination of new DCs, further DC automation, or DC expansion. São Paulo is a good example. We have 3 DCs in São Paulo, and we have opened a massive number of stores in São Paulo in the last many years. It doesn't make sense to have a 4 DC in São Paulo. So what we're doing is we're investing in technology to expand the capacity and the productivity of an EDC, because we don't increase the cost base in terms of rentals, in terms of people, in terms of security, and so on, but we increase throughput and we increase capacity. So we have a big project happening in São Paulo, which is about to go live. There could be new phases of the project. The project could be could go in the future to other DCs. But this, we're confident we can operate in São Paulo with a bigger number of stores with only 3 DCs. Northeast was a completely different situation because it's very far away, so it pays to have a new DC there. Another issue is that we have a tax disadvantage in the Northeast whenever we don't have a DC in the States. So in the larger states, by Pernambuco and now Bahia, we have DCs in both. So this is how we think about it. Every year, either it's a new DC, either it's more automation, either it's an expansion, or most likely a combination of the three.
And Pedro, when we talk about the open channels material right now, it's a journey, it's a very, very long journey. We start this year with an expansion to 2 platforms, it's doing very, very well in 2 platforms. And this journey, that's know that our stretch, that we know that the customer will decide in the future with their mobile in their hands, okay? You know, this will be very important for you. I never think in this like a pure play. You have always think in this to use all our 130 stores, 1,000 stores in the account to help us with the omnichannel strategy. This will be our future. We believe in that.
Very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pedro.
It appears to be no further questions. Now, I'll turn the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Well, thank you all for attending this conference call. This was a great quarter, and obviously, I think what stands out is the big margin tailwind we got as a function of the forward buying in the first quarter. That's good, but the problem is that obviously this inventory is essentially finished, and our margin goes back to normal. So there is kind of a transitional effect there. But please don't lose sight of the fact that behind these strong numbers, there's also a very strong execution and very meaningful productivity improvements. We have been delivering a very solid top-line growth around 25% for several quarters. So these are even disclosed with the kind of execution we are having. And in the end, what matters is not what the quarter, the margin the quarter is, what the one-time effect is. One-time effects will happen, positive or negative. Our focus is on the long term. What we want to have is that the structural margin keeps evolving. And obviously, you see quarters with the structural margin evolving and a negative transition transitory effect, or like this quarter, a positive transitory effect on top of the structure. But the structure is what matters. The structure is what will bring us forward and will give us greater margin the next years and a much greater margin even longer term. Okay? What we have been doing as a company is trying to create optionalities to achieve margin needs. We achieved margin needs in the last 3 years, 14, 15, and 16. And we never told the market that would happen ahead for a simple reason that we don't know when that's happening. So we're working to create a finality, but we don't know when the finality will make itself appearance. So we keep creating finalities. We don't have a clue if we have another leak or when. And in the absence of that clue, we keep guiding what's clear. And the margin, assuming a more steady state scenario. And obviously, assuming a steady state scenario, we have a challenging margin environment next year because we just can't beat the second quarter margin, and we probably can't beat the third quarter margin. But the structural margin that we'll see in other quarters, it should grow. And this should bring the call for the margin forward and forward as you go by. So in terms of creative finalities, I mean, in 2013 and 14, we devised a new strategic program with 4 key pillars, and Marcelo went over those. Accelerate organic growth, innovative formats, leverage category management, leverage share. So we are already opening 200 stores a year. We achieved a huge breakthrough this quarter with formats, with PharmaView, taking a step forward with the big store pilot. We are advancing category managers, so we're just starting the implementation of a new pricing platform. This is a few years story. The rollout is progressive, category by category, but this is transformational for the company. This is both a must to help us manage increased price complexity as we grow and as we operate in a multitude of markets, but it's also an opportunity in terms of trying to get bigger margins. We keep advancing with the Dunhambi to support all our core category management decisions like mix, like promotions, and so on. We keep advancing CRM. I just mentioned the app that is about to be released. We have an e-sales platform being piloted with a streamlined process with much more personalization. So I'm just covering a couple of the things we're doing. In our investor day, we have the opportunity to further elaborate on those in even more detail. So I'm repeating myself, but I highly encourage whoever is able to come south and attend our investor day. The final word is that our focus is on the long term. We are in a market for huge tailwind in terms of demographic transformation, driving demand growth for the next 15 years. We don't have a clue what we'll be doing in year 9. We have a pretty good idea what we're doing in year 4 or 5, but even in year 9, 10, 12, the growth will be around. So our growth window is 15 years. And this is what matters, and we want to be better and better over time. Given the choice between the short and the long, we choose the long 10 times in 10. So I think this is the mindset of the company. This is what we're trying to achieve. I'd like to thank you all for attending the call. I thank you all our long-term shareholders for your support. We know you have been through good times and bad times and good times again, and hope to keep you on the good side always, but life is just not that way. But you know that here you have a very consistent long-term strategy for very consistent execution backed by a very consistent group of majority shareholders who have this community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, Adriana. This conference call is finished. Have a nice day.